Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
inkjet and laser printers. I'm just doing this podcast while walking back up to my car to pick it up from the local mechanics, and our LED laser printer cost, I think, $120, beautiful colour printer, after about 5 years. It hasn't really carked. It's got a fault light on it, and sort of there's no way no switch to throw, nothing to do. I've gone through the manual, there's nothing to do. I could go to the online community. But for $120, the general assessment is, oh, it's time to buy another one. And sort of that really got my goat. But, you know, the long story is that we've bought another one. Cost $250 from Officeworks. That's Australian dollars. And so it's probably, I don't know, 150 US or something like that. And there was just the general feeling of, you know, this is a piece of technology, it can work, and it's all this type of stuff. And sort of the feeling that when I bought it, there were just all, 5 years ago, there were hundreds of, not hundreds, about, oh, well, over, between 5 and 10 sort of brands competing, Fujitsu, Kasera, all in this thing, this dense market. There's a whole lot of opportunities there, and you have sort of a sense, oh, look, something's going to improve on it. And so I'm actually pleased I've bought this new printer, and the new technology is that it's wireless, is double-sided and stuff like that. But I had, you know, had a real sense that where has the technology gone? Now, the actual printing speed and colour hasn't really improved all that much, and it's still a bit of a rip-off market in terms of that they sell you these very expensive toner cartridges. You definitely feel that the Fujitsu ones that you put in the the containers contained, well, basically a plastic container, and they just ran out of ink, out of toner, which is basically electrostatic dust. So the light charges a drum or whatever it is that sticks to it, and then the drum rotates and heats the paper, and the plastic melts into the paper, and you get a laser printed piece of colour. So there's no moving parts, and or there is like an inkjet, the actual jet moves back and forth, but with this, it's just a rotating drum. So essentially it's sort of like it's digital printing. Now my general surprise was that looked into it, that the industry hadn't changed, and certain things had sort of receded. And so in general, laser printing had actually fallen off its perch, and inkjet printing had continued up the ladder. Now, inkjet has certain trajectories in it, which over time their performance can drop off, your inkjet printer. So your inkjet printer is really as good as the inkjet cartridge, because it's got the actual little the little physio thing which fires the inkjet. Russian, it really reminds me, there's an Australian MEMS invention for these really high speed printers, and it surprises me that it hasn't gone through. G'day. This is MEMS's little micro machines, and just reminded me that, you know, somehow, how come that's not in there? So there's actually three things. There's inkjet, which is a little piezo crystal which fires droplets of ink. There's the laser printer. There's also these MEMS printers, which I've totally forgot about. But the actual purchase is actually a complex purchase, because you basically have your projected use, your need for it, various needs, and sort of a running cost. And so basically it's like buying a mobile phone. You can get a very cheap mobile phone, but they lock you into a contract. And so effectively this is locking you into a long-term contract by ink. So you've got a very low turnover. Now it's really hard to say. So really what I'd like there is a two prices, a written on the, like the ticket price, and a 10-year or 5-year cost. So maybe here's such a sensor printer, it's $100, but over 5 years its cost is, and you're amortized, and with internal rate of return, i.e. the fact that the money is taken off later and all that type of stuff, properly counted, your accounting cost for this is, you know, so it has a three prices, the an array of prices. So you have the cash price, the 3-5 year high price, the so essentially if you buy a consumer, so if you buy a consumable, then you consume it, that's it. But if you buy something else, it's got a lifetime maintenance cost, etc. And really, if you could have this for all things like cars, that you could start making a more informed... So this is, like in general trends, how we put the digital electronics, the smarts with the sensor, putting the smarts with the accounting. And so when you're looking at it, so I suppose a lot of people look at sort of the packaging and the deal and the razzmatazz, and actually looking at the overall logical price, be really good to see it. And I'm not saying that it might sound, oh God, who would do that? But you know, already, if you look at it, our price labelling, we've got barcodes and I don't know, the nature people don't tend to keep receipts for anything anymore. People don't keep cash, the price is digital anyway, and it is possible that you could, if possible, have a price, and you're looking at, so say if you were going to, if you were, I don't know, planning to only use it for a year, or your lifespan wasn't going to be so much, or I don't know, you were going to live for 10 years, you wouldn't, you know, the 10-year price wouldn't come come to it. So in a sense, the printers have a finance deal with them. So the interesting aspect was that I went into this large thing. There was a whole range of inkjet printers, and it appeared to me that the lowest cost option is for colour printing is to have a combination of say inkjet, or basically buy a cheap inkjet printer, which is sort of like a this is going to say probably a third of the price. It's got to multiply it by a little bit over a third of the price, and that's up and running. This proliferation of that, and the actual market has contracted to it, and such that there was only one offering, which is his brother one. So I took it out, basically bought it. Then what I tend to do is pause before I open it up, and I've got the option of going. I then say, oh, okay, well, I've reduced it to this decision. I phone up a few friends and just get a basic sanity check. This is not a stupid thing to do. Then break it up, and then, what a toast, what a great thing in terms of being able to not have a USB connected to it, but actually to switch on and print. And it was... G'day. How are you? It was sort of very interesting in terms of, I suppose, my children said, oh, can you print from your computer down in your bedroom? G'day, hello. Your computer down in your bedroom. And the thought was, well, we don't trust this. We'll go up and actually try and install a printer ourselves. I don't know. They just didn't sort of accept. So a wireless printer means that the printer is there and it's on the network, and it automatically announces itself to all the computers, and you can just basically select it in your network. There's no wiring. And of course, this is the entire sort of basic thing of wireless, in terms of it's not wired, and so it's say point to point to the network, so the printer doesn't require your computer that runs it to be alive to the network. It goes across, and this is true for all the wireless devices. So what I'm doing is making little wireless units, and once you make it, it's not that it's not got a computer. It's got a very small PLC on it, which then communicates directly to the internet. So as long as you've got a battery and the wireless thing can operate, and your computer can go on the dip. So that little noise there was the garbage trucks in Australia. So it's pretty amazing. They've the driver comes along, a machine vision picks up where the bin is, a mechanical arm goes out, grabs it, turfs it in, but as it turfs it in, it weighs it, and in some circumstances photographs what's going on. And the amount of waste we produce is, I don't know, probably a tenth, I don't know. Yeah, something along those lines. A fifth, a tenth of what we used to produce, because we now have separate green waste recycled streams. And people have put a lot of effort into this, and there's a little earn and return section here. I see someone going up to it at the moment, and essentially things which can be recycled have a barcode on and a little computer robot, whatever it is, takes it in and automatically credits your for a supermarket. You can get it going back on PayPal, all that type of stuff. So it's, you know, there's all this technology coming along, except I suppose we need that next grade of trying to decide where it's going, and then the entire thing with this e-waste. And so it's quite a nice printer, but the sort of the technology isn't there. And the I suppose the other thing is that the components can't be harvested. So this old Fujitsu printer, the actual components, because they're all there's sort of no generic parts that you can take. So that ends it. I've actually just walked up to the shop and getting my car serviced. So it was serviced in just a bit over an hour or so. So that's pretty impressive. Thanks a lot. So I'm just checking this, continuing to record. This is back in the car. Just going to drive off and do an errand very quickly there. We're talking about laser printers here, just as a fill-in. Now, I bought this Brother laser printer, and thinking about it, it does two sides, which sort of means a lot less, I suppose, you know, some more convenient, a whole lot less paper waste. And I've described how we're sort of we sort of separate out soft plastics and I don't know how much progress we're actually are making in Australia in terms of the amount of waste. You can see sort of the onslaught of technology here. Now, the important thing here is that obviously this means less paper production, and the interesting thing is that when you tend to buy reams of paper, so 500 sheets is a ream, and you buy probably 10 reams in a box, and what tends to happen is that a lot of people are storing a large amount of crap about the place, storing it up, and you sort of think that the fact that if you got your mates, you should buy stuff and separate it amongst your mates. And there's a lot of Australia, like everyone's got their own lawn mower, and you know what they do is that they've got increasingly small amount of lawn to mow because they're building these bigger houses. And really, you should be able to share your lawn mower and. Things are going along that trends. People are tending to own less of their cars and actually getting this go-get car where you go up and you put your credit card against the, window, thing that opens up the, the rear vision mirror. So a lot of these things are happening, but it's not happening on the really microscopic scale where I suppose it counts. So, yeah, ultimately, I see all these people have got their own little wood chipper mulcher and stuff like that, and you know they would use it once ever. So really, if we can start to get these community stuff going, and even printing, it really should be that your wireless printer should be in a community access point where your pension next to you might want to print once in a year or something like that, but they can come across and use them to go across. So I don't know. We've got these houses which are sort of designed to the ultimate consumer paradise for our company, but we really can arrange ourselves now. The actual brother printer. We're supposed to get HP because that's the a known brand and stuff like that. But the only one there was Brother. Now, you think in Australia this is great. Now, it is true in Sydney. If you go a little bit further into central Sydney, you get a huge selection of everything you want. But you come out to Penrith, which is just, it's as far as Sydney's concerned, this is country in New South Wales. It's almost country in New South Wales. And you often get a very limited selection. Section of things. In fact, a lot of the specialty shops are contracting back into Sydney. They just can't survive with the. We're not as wealthy. It's just that people tend to buy things online anyway. You're out here, it's isolated, buy things online. So you have this. Like the effect of the online buying environment is that. It's affecting different places differently. So your central stores are getting, your central city stores are getting bigger, smaller. And what's also is that the online means that you no longer are having these boutique stores which have these highly inflated prices. So I went to look at buying a gimbal for a for my mobile phone. So in producing it, and this is something I'll look at more seriously if I'm going down the track of producing YouTubes. But I'm going to perfect making podcasts and writing research papers first, and then get back onto that branch. So put some more planning into it. But the gimbal, which is the thing which allows your mobile phone to be panned and held, that sort of stabilizes the picture, costs basically $100, as much as you get on the internet, because people can buy it on the internet. The dealers here in camera houses will only sell it at internet prices. So at least that's coming along the place. Now I'll finish this up, and I'll promise to do a quick review of the Brother printer when I come back from this shop. Okay, so just finishing off the last 3 minutes as I go home. A basic review of the Brother Color Laser printer. It's an LED printer. So it's a fairly large, almost too heavy to lift, sort of bricky box. Now, the advantage of being a large footprint is that the pages, when they come out and in, don't fall over the place. The Fujitsu CP105B, which I know because I've kept on looking it up online to fix it, has a small footprint. It's such a small footprint, but it means that the paper is sticking out of it, and it shoots out and the paper falls on the floor. So this is a delightful thing to have the paper come out and just sit there on the top of the unit. Have a large tray go into it. Now you open it up and it's got a very open architecture, very logical architecture. So lift up the unit, and inside it's got four identical toner cartridges, and they cost $120 each, and you could well imagine they cost $120 each because there's electronics in it, there's heaters in it, and it looks as though it's going to work. It's a much more logical sort of heavy duty solution, so you can sort of almost forgive it, but it's still bloody expensive. And I think it's you can buy a standard 1,000 page, or you can buy a 1,000
2,500-page stuff. Now, my overall view as a socialist, as sort of a Nazi slash communist type of person, is that I think you should not be allowed to have a high waist. You can't sell a cheaper high waist option. You should, you've just got to bite the bullet and only ever sell. You can imagine that you halve your inventory cost, you halve everything. Now, of course, people always want something to select. What happens is you get a price collapse. If you produce one model of something, you've got to artificially create a range of models, which is rather sad. However, in this case, this is quite criminal because you essentially double the waste. These things, it must have only cost a dollar or so more to double the capacity, and then you halve the waste for these things, because they go back and there's these things that people refill these units. It's just absolutely criminal. However, it's really nice. You've got these A4 cross things, these four cartridges, yellow, cyan, blue, going across, and black, and they just sit across all identical cartridges, and they sit directly across whatever it is that the thing, so it's as opposed to these clip on the side cartridges. So in order to get the small footprint, I really think the Fujitsu sort of went up the wrong evolutionary path there, and you can't buy a Fujitsu thing to save yourself, which is rather sad. And then there's the thing of these integrated scanners, lasers, machines, and where you have the scanner on the top and the document feed and stuff like that, so you can just put in a huge set of documents to scan. It's sort of rather, you sort of, and you can send a fax. Now, I don't know whether people send faxes anymore, and this large document scanners, it just really grabs me that there's always this one is a one function that doesn't do all the different functions. It's just that I don't think people photocopy anymore. It's just the world's gone online and gone paperless. Like, it's been a while. People will say, do you really want a receipt? Because people no longer pick up receipts for things. Now, we'll obviously change. But this entire idea of integration, the problem is that you may want one. I've got a high speed scanner and it scans both sides at high speed, and you really this integration, it doesn't do any job particularly well. And what they do is you have a photocopier at the post office and the library, and you can go there if you desperately want it. Yeah, so there's all this thing. So the colour laser colour printer, it's in there, and I'll use it to print up my research paper, which will be the subject of my second third podcast for the day. Now, there I go. I really can't quite in detail remember the first podcast, so there you go. This is my memory, and I had to be prodded. I had completely forgotten that I had my car to be serviced today. So there you go. That's the memory problems happening, and I don't feel particularly bad. I just know that I don't remember things, and it's all okay. I don't feel particularly bad. I haven't forgotten sort of the major aspects and context. It's just these other small things I forget. Thanks a lot for listening. That's the end of this Complex podcast. podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.